Welcome to the conference call of TAG Immobilien AG, which is now starting. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. May I now hand you over to Mr. Martin Thiel.
Yeah, thank you very much, and good morning, everybody. This is Martin from TAG. Welcome to our conference call for the Q1 results 2018. Thanks for dialing in. Some words about our first quarter in a nutshell. I think it was quite a normal quarter with, of course, good FFO development, everything on the right way, especially if you look at our guidance, so we are fully on track. But no valuation or refinancing events during the first quarter as expected. But let's start with the highlights, and I'm now on slide four of the presentation, and a look on the operational performance in the first quarter. If you look at the development in the vacancy of the residential units, we started on a comparable basis with 5.3% vacancy into the year, and the difference between the 4.8% you know from last year to the 5.3% was the inclusion of the acquisitions from 2017 into this number. Vacancy increased a little bit in the first 3 months to 5.6, but I think you've seen this already in the press release, was already reduced in April to 5.4. So all in all, vacancy in residential units remained stable in the first quarter, which is nothing unusual. This quarter is always a little bit weaker than the others. Like-for-like rental growth remains stable. The basis like-for-like rental growth at 2% per annum. If you include the effects from vacancy reduction, it was clearly higher, 2.6%, a little bit weaker than in the quarter and the year before, where we had 3.1%, and this was purely the effect from a lower than in the previous quarter vacancy reduction. Good development in FFO, I already mentioned that, 1 million up from 34.1 million in the previous quarter to 35.1 million now in the first quarter. If you compare that with last year's results from the first quarter, I think the development is even clearer, the good way we are in at the moment following. In the first quarter 2017, we had 28.5 million FFO, so in absolute terms, that's a 23% increase. On a per share basis, we had last year in the first quarter 20 cents per share compared to 24% in this quarter, so that's a 20% increase. So definitely a good and positive development. Looking at EPRA NAV and LTV, EPRA NAV is slightly up from 13.80 to 14.01. And that's without any valuation results, just the ongoing results we achieved in the first quarter, improved NAV. LTV was reduced by 90 basis points from 52.3% to 51.4%. Besides the ongoing amortization from our bank loans, which always reduces quarter by quarter the LTV a little bit, we also had the closing of a transaction you already know from last year, a disposal in Berlin, where the closing was at the end of the first quarter, and this also reduced the LTV. Looking on the acquisitions and disposal side, so far we had no acquisitions in the first quarter 2018, but just not a really a concern. You know, markets are definitely competitive, but we are optimistic for the remaining part of the year. Difficult to give here any explicit guidance, but I think you will see here in the next quarters definitely development. On the disposal side, as we had no larger acquisitions, there was no pressure on disposals. So what we had in the first quarter was the ongoing disposal business, where we managed to sell 108 units in the first 3 months, 2018, total selling price near the 7 million, and the net cash proceeds from these disposals, which were sold above book value, was 6.7 million. So that's a look on the highlight slide. Then I'm moving now to page number six. We have the income statement in detail just to talk about the main events and the main developments. And the net rent, that means rent without service charges, was up by 600,000 euros, mainly coming from good like-for-like rental growth and also from the net effect from portfolio transactions. We had some disposals, I already mentioned, but also 800 units from the acquisitions last year were closed at the end of the financial year 2017. So going now full into the first quarter numbers. Net rental income also increased by 700,000. On the one side, we invested more in the first quarter of 2018, which led to higher maintenance costs and also to a higher capex than, for example, in the previous year in the first quarter. But on the other side, we had this increased net rent and also lower impairments of rent receivables compared to the previous quarter. Net services or net revenue from services slightly down from 5.1 to 4.5 million, but that's not unusual. First quarter always a little bit weaker than the fourth quarter of a year where we have effects from service charges. Relation results nearly zero compared to 250 million in the previous quarter, very clear. The next full portfolio relation will take place at the end of the second quarter. So as last year, we will see two full relations from us, the first one after the second quarter. So for the next quarterly results, we will release the results. And of course, the full year relation will take place also at year end, at the end of the fourth quarter. Other operating expenses, if we compare that quarter by quarter, materially down, but perhaps you remember that we had a one-off effect in the fourth quarter 2017, 8.5 million provision for real estate transfer tax risks from prior periods. Just as a comment, nothing new on that. That's still a risk and outstanding. But we also had cost savings compared to the previous quarter that led to lower other operating expenses. Net financial result, perhaps better to look at the net financial result cash after one-offs that improved by 500,000 euros in comparison to previous quarter. I already mentioned we had no refinancing activities in the first quarter 2018 as expected, but of course ongoing refinancings, and because we have currently a quite strong cash position, what we did, we repaid approximately 80 million of short-term floating rate bank loans just to save interest costs. Income taxes, as always, mainly contain deferred taxes. If you look at the cash tax expenses in the first quarter 2018, that increased to 1.1 million after 300,000 in the fourth quarter 2017. Looking at the full year, I think you should expect something around 5.5 to 6 million total cash taxes. That's still an attractive number compared to an FFO guidance pre-taxes of more than 140 million, but more than last year where we had income taxes, cash income taxes for the full year of approximately 3 million. And that's simply the development of better results and more taxable income than in previous years. Moving on to the next page, where we show the calculation of EBITDA, FFO, and AFFO. Perhaps important to point out the good development in the EBITDA margin. We are now in the first quarter 2018 at 68%, coming from 67% in the fourth quarter of 2017. So clearly improving this number quarter by quarter, more than 1.3 million more EBITDA in the first quarter. Already mentioned, FFO, 1 million up. Beside the improved EBITDA and despite higher cash taxes, I already mentioned the better than in the previous quarter net financial result. Also, AFFO increased by 1.2 million in comparison to the previous quarter, and I think that's also an important and good development that we do not only increase our FFO quarter by quarter, but also that the AFFO quarter by quarter is improved. On the next page number 8, quick look at the balance sheet. Already mentioned, a quite high cash position at the moment at 285 million, but that's very clear. We don't only have to pay the dividend now in May, but that's normal, but also we have to repay an outstanding corporate bond remaining 191 million, which is due in August, and the cash balance we have in the balance sheet now is mainly to repay this corporate bond, so very normal and planned cash at the moment. Then on the next slide number 9, you see the EPRA NAV development. Clearly in the first quarter, no material increase in the NAV expected, simply because we had no portfolio relations, so the increase you saw by 20 cents is simply the development of higher net income in the first quarter 2018. On slide number 10, see the development of cost of debt and LTV. Cost of debt nearly unchanged quarter by quarter at 2.35%. Perhaps important to point out, if we exclude the already refinanced corporate bond due in August this year, which is still outstanding with 191 million, we are already on a pro forma basis down to 2.14% cost of debt. So we have materially reduced cost of debt to compared it with 1 year before by approximately 100 basis points, taking this into account. LTV now down to 51.4%. I already mentioned that. Clearly approaching or coming near to our LTV target, which is 50%, and we expect this to be reached during the course of the year 2018, at latest by year-end. Of course, it depends also on the valuation results we will achieve in the half-year and the full-year valuation, but if you pencil in just slight valuation gains, you will see that this shouldn't be any problem to reach the LTV target. Then I'm on the next slide, slide number 11. We'll see the financing structure in more details. Perhaps just important to point out what we state here on the bottom left of the slide, the upcoming refinances 2018 to 2020. I mean, it's clear we've done a lot in 2017. We refinanced ahead of maturity 630 million of bank loans last year, and also the corporate bonds maturing in August. But there's still room for improvement. 326 million of bank loans are maturing. All the interest terms are ending in the next 3 years. And if you look at the coupons of these bank loans, it's often north of 3% per annum. So this should lead to further interest cost savings. And I already mentioned the 191 million corporate bond that we repay in August. And then approximately 2 years from now, we have another 125 million corporate bond maturing in June 2020, still with a, in today's interest rate world, quite high coupon of 3.75%. So you see the 2.14% average cost of debt, which we have now on a pro forma basis, should not be the end of the road. There's still room for improvement. Then I'm on slide number 13. We see the portfolio map. Perhaps just a comment here on the number of units. You see in comparison to the year end 2017, where we had 83,100 units, now a little bit less in the first quarter. That's simply the effect of the disposals I already mentioned, ongoing disposals, and the closing of a portfolio sale in Berlin that we signed already last year. On the next slide, slide number 14, you see the development of in our vacancy rates once more in detail. Already explained the development of the vacancy rate in the first quarter. So we started, or we ended the financial year 2017 with a 4.8% vacancy rate. Then just more technically, including the acquisitions from last year into this number, which had on average a vacancy rate of approximately 14%, we end up with 5.3% as a starting point in this like-for-like view. Then the vacancy rate increased a little bit by 30 basis points in the first quarter and then was already reduced to 5.4% in April. I would say not really an unusual development. If you compare that with the developments in the last quarters or in the last years, we had always, let's say, a stable vacancy rate, 10, 20 basis points reduction, now a 10 basis point increase. So that's nothing unusual. Main effect from this slightly tick up in vacancy was the integration of new acquisitions. On the next slide, another look at like-for-like rental growth. The basis like-for-like rental growth still at 2%, which is a good number, especially I have in mind that we achieved this without any large capex programs. So that's purely, I would say, the tenant turnover and rent increases for existing tenants. The capex impact in this 2% number is still 10 basis points, only 10 basis points. That's a number absolutely comparable to the last quarters. Including the effects from from vacancy reduction to the like-for-like number, we end up with 2.6% compared to 3.1% in the previous year, but I already explained this 50 basis point reduction is the effect from lower vacancy reduction in the first quarter, and we expect that to tick up, but it's still in the direction of our guidance, so we expect that the total like-for-like rental growth, including vacancy reduction, should go more towards the 3% for the full year. Then on slide number 17, another look at the guidance for 2018. I think we already communicated with the full year numbers that we will review the guidance, and we will do this now post the Q2 results. If you look at the run rate and multiply the FFO we achieved in the first quarter, we're already north of 140 million regarding the FFO for the full year. So the current guidance of 136 million should really be achievable. And also on a per share basis, we're more as a run rate towards the 95, 96 euros per share than the 93 euros already guided. But as we need perhaps more clarity on acquisitions and disposals, we think it makes sense to renew this with the Q2 figures, where we also then present the half-year valuation. So the Q2 figures definitely will have interesting news, I think. Dividend per share, we are paying out now 65 cents per share after the AGM that takes place in May, and the guidance for 2018 paid out in 2019 is still unchanged at 70 cents per share. And on the last slide, slide number 18, a look at upcoming events. First of all, our annual general meeting taking place in Hamburg on the 23rd of May, already mentioned the dividend payment, other agenda points. We have elections to the supervisory board. All current shareholder representatives will be or are nominated for re-election, with one exception. Dr. Hans-Jürgen Albrecht is leaving the board because he reached also the retirement age. And Professor Dr. Christine Wellner, which is a professor from the Technical University in Berlin with a focus on real estate, is nominated as a new representative for the supervisory board. We're happy to have her on the board, hopefully, as an expert in real estate. This is, I think, a good candidate for the board. Also, we have a resolution to approve the remuneration system for the management board. You find all the details, therefore, on the website and also in the annual report. No really general changes. We're focusing now more on the total shareholder return for a longer period. So the bonus payment for the management is still based on TAG shares. And now the main change was that we will look in the future more on a three-year basis than just in a one-year period, which is something that we think makes sense and is perhaps also market standard. Again, also resolutions to renew authorized capital and contingent capital, just renewing the already given authorizations we had from the previous years. And then finally, some comments on Capital Market Day, where we hope that we see many of you to participate. We think an interesting agenda for the day taking place on the 12th of June in Brandenburg an der Havel, which is in the Berlin commuter belt, approximately a 45-minute drive by train there. Presentations also including an expert from the University of Regensburg, Professor Dr. Joost. We want to talk with you about the acquisition and CapEx strategies we have, and we have here, I think, a good example, TAG's Brandenburg portfolio, where we acquired 3,000 units in the last two or three years. Want to give you more insights on our service business and future projects we have at TAG, and the experts panel and experts presentation is then about the topic, the developments from the Berlin commuter belt in comparison to the Berlin capital. So perhaps interesting to see that. After the presentations, we'll have a property tour and hope to see you in Brandenburg an der Havel on the 12th of June. That's it from me today, a comprehensive presentation with our Q1 results. Thanks so far for listening, and now I'm of course happy to take your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Thiel. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press star 2. For your questions, please press star 1 now. We got the first question from Thomas Neuhold from Kepler Cheuvreux. Your line is open.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. I have three questions. Firstly, I was wondering if you can give us an update on your acquisition pipeline and more generally how you see the key trends in the investment market in your core markets. Secondly, the service business increased strongly year over year. Could you give us an update on the outlook and the growth potential for the service business? And then finally, on slide 20, I was wondering if you can give us an update on the markets where the vacancy rates are still quite high, like Chemnitz and Gera. What is going on there, and what is your strategy here to reduce the vacancy rate? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Thomas, for the questions. Firstly, talking about the acquisition pipeline, perhaps it's good to talk more generally about that. As you hopefully understand, we can give no comments on detailed project at the moment. I mean, the market is clearly competitive, and we see clearly also market participants coming from large institutional funds more and more in our market, which is then for the acquisition side, not the best news, but good news, of course, for our strategy, good news for valuation. If you remember last year, I think we are still able and we have proven to find chances and to find acquisitions, perhaps also more frequently this year and more in smaller sizes. So let's see what happens here during the course of the year. But clearly the market is competitive. Talking about the service business, yes, you're absolutely right. Strong increase if you compare the first quarter 2018 to the first quarter 2017. We started a large part of the service business, which means the multimedia business and the energy business, at year-end 2016, then coming more and more into our books during the course of the financial year 2017. If you remember the presentation we released with the full year statement, full year figures, you see that the penetration rate regarding the multimedia business is, for example, currently 50,000 units out of a total targeted volume of approximately 75,000 units, and in the energy business it was approximately 23,000 units out of a targeted size of approximately 75,000 units. These are currently definitely the two most important businesses looking purely at the FFO effect, so there should be a good development over the next 3 to 4 years. That's the time frame that we pencil in for then the full penetration, and you could expect a development which is quite linear over the next, let's say, 3 years. Talking about potentials for vacancy reduction, I mean, we're at the moment, for our numbers, quite strongly investing in the regions Chemnitz and Berlin. Chemnitz still with a high vacancy rate, with 11% in March 2018. Berlin with a lower vacancy rate at 5.9%, but in Berlin, especially one region, that's Brandenburg an der Havel, where we acquired 3,000 units and where also the capital market day take place, and we want to show our CapEx strategies on this day. The average vacancy that we have in our portfolio in Brandenburg is around 20%, so if you ask me where is the most potential to reduce vacancy reduction, I would say, beside Chemnitz, it's definitely also the Berlin region, whereas Gera is more the strategy to do this in smaller steps, simply as a reflection of the market. Yes, Gera has a positive development, but perhaps not that strong demand that we see, for example, in Chemnitz or in the Berlin commuter belts for modernized apartments.
Okay. Very clear. Thank you very much.
Mr. Sanderbank from Barclays, may we have your question, please?
Hi, morning. Three questions for me, please. First one, can you already give us any guidance on the H1 revaluation results? I know that some of your peers have already been guiding at some pretty strong revaluation uplifts. Have you had some discussions with CBRE already, and what kind of upside are they currently looking at?
Good morning, Sander. Let's say that this, we have not really detailed discussions and, of course, not results on the table. We have just more indications and difficult to give exact numbers. I mean, last year we had a 14% uplift during the course of the year, approximately 7% first year, 7% in the second year. So what we expect is that it goes, let's say, more in this direction. So definitely closer to the 14% we had last year than the 3 or 5%, talking about full-year evaluation uplifts that we saw in the last 2 years. That's, let's say, a guidance we can give, which is more an informal guidance.
Excellent. And is that for the full year? Is it already at H1?
That's full year.
Okay, perfect. Actually on some of the acquisitions you've done, and I'm just doing some very crude maths here, again, looking at slide 20. Is it correct that some of the units you've acquired in Chemnitz have a vacancy of around 40%? I'm just comparing your page 20 from the December to your March now. The units have increased a bit, but the vacancy has increased quite a lot. And the way to back that out is by assuming a roughly 40% vacancy on purchases. Is that broadly correct, or am I something missing here?
No, that's correct. The one large acquisition we had last year in Chemnitz had a vacancy, I think, north of 35%. So that,
all right,
that calculation makes sense.
Okay, and can you give us any detail on since acquisition how you've progressed with reducing that vacancy, with the vacancy rate?
Yeah, the closing of this acquisition took place at the 31st of December. So in the first weeks or month after the acquisition, it's very normal that the vacancy rate remains at that level or even increases a little bit. Because I would say not only the first quarter, perhaps the first full year is more a restructuring year, but it's important that tenants realize, well, there's a new landlord, we're starting with investments, we're starting with simple things, implementing our own caretaker services and so on. So really progress, and that's more a general comment, not only for the Chemnitz, real progress you see not in the first weeks, but let's say in year two or three, clearly everything is a track. So today, as far as I know, the vacancy rate in this Chemnitz portfolio is nearly unchanged, which is a normal development.
Okay. And can you give us some guidance on, and I know the Chemnitz in particular is quite small, but can you give some guidance what kind of, within which time frame you expect this vacancy to come down in these newly acquired units from the broadly 35% when you acquired that to more a 5 to 10% region for the rest of the portfolio?
In this case, very quickly, but because if you look at the purchase price we paid for the portfolio, for us it was a quite high multiple that we paid. It was north of 15 times the current rent, which is, if you compare that to other transactions, unusual or sounds expensive on first sight. But we see here clearly potential and some, if you want, so low-hanging fruits. So it should be a time period of perhaps 2 years, perhaps 1 year longer, until we are in a vacancy rate you described, that means below 10%.
Okay, and you get to add that to that vacancy rate by spending CapEx and asking market rents, or are you getting to that lower vacancy rate by reducing asking rents?
Clearly the first alternative, and it's, by the way, I think the only alternative to do this. I mean, you could do just theoretically the second alternative, but that would mean to reduce it really materially. The key, and that's very simple, for vacancy reduction in these locations in Eastern Germany is means you have to invest. Every new tenant wants a modernized apartment, and modernized means not a luxury apartment. It means bringing the apartment back to today's standards, so that means new bathroom, new floor, more simple things. And that's what we're doing here in Chemnitz. We definitely do not have to do any really, let's say, structural investments, heavy CapEx spending. We have to modernize the apartment step by step. And with the returns you know from us in this regard, which are quite attractive, that's what the plan for the Chemnitz. And that's more also the plan talking more generally when we talk about vacancy reduction.
No, excellent. That's all understood. Okay. And very last question. The target for like-for-like rental growth, obviously it dipped a bit during this quarter to 2.6%, including vacancy reduction. The 3.5% like-for-like rental target, is that still something you're looking at for the near and medium term, or do you feel you have to adjust that downwards or upwards?
No, we don't have that feeling. So let's say like-for-like rental growth without vacancy reduction of 2%, including vacancy reduction around 3%, that's absolutely something that we think is realistic. And perhaps it's, or we've already seen this in the last years, there's a swing depending on which quarter we are reporting. So towards the end of the year, where we normally have always the stronger vacancy reductions, we're very optimistic that this number is going more than into the 3% per annum than for reducing further. That's very clear.
Okay, excellent. Thanks. Many thanks.
Bernd Jansen from Victoria Partners. May we have your questions, please?
Good morning. Three brief questions. First one on cost reduction. You mentioned that you achieved cost reduction in SG&A in Q1. Could you give us some examples how this was achieved and what could be a run rate for 2018? Second question is on lower impairments on net receivables, where you so far have been above peer group average. Would it be possible to give us a number, for example, percentage of net rents, even though I know that you should calculate it over a VAM meter, over all-inclusive rents, but where you're standing today? And the last question, again, on like-for-like rental growth, where there were already some questions in the appendix, the one on where you compare Q1 2018 and so on. I guess it's page 21. Could you give us an idea more specifically? There have been some reductions in total like-for-like rental growth, including change in vacancy in Q1 over Q4 2017. For example, Salzgitter, it was 5.4% at Q4 stage, sorry, it's now 3.9%, and some other cities where it also came down a couple of basis points. Is that mainly because of a higher base now? So the base Q1 2017 over the previous base Q4 2016, or is it more the seasonal effect that you highlighted before?
Yeah, thank you, Ben, for the question. First of all, talking about cost reduction, what were the main effects from lower average operating expenses in the first quarter 2018 compared to the previous quarter? I think talking generally about this topic, what we've seen still in the last 1 or 2 years is investments in our IT system. I mean, this will, of course, continue, but we had here reductions, especially comparing the two previous quarter. So we're becoming here more and more effective. Beside that, I think the total cost reduction is more the effect of acquisitions exactly in our regions. So where we were able to integrate new portfolio, just really slightly increases in SG&A. And of course, the increasing and growing service business, which is also done with very limited personal expenses and very limited other operating expenses. So perhaps these two elements are the most important things why we improved the EBITDA margin in the last quarters, quarter by quarter.
Okay, I should look at your published Q1 numbers, but I was under the impression you also had an absolute decline in operating expenses. Is that correct? So it was not just a question on the margin, but also on the absolute amount, and I would focus on the FFO relevant number within that, so excluding previous one-offs.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct. It was also a reduction in absolute amount, which is, first of all, good news, but perhaps especially looking at other operating expenses, I don't want to highlight that too much.
Okay.
More the general trend that I described, for example, reduced IT costs. That's clearly a trend we observe over the last quarters.
Okay.
And then your question about like-for-like rental growth. Clearly you see changes in the first quarter 2018 compared to the previous year. For example, Salzgitter, the total, because you mentioned that the total like-for-like rental growth, including vacancy reduction, was 3.9%. from 5.4% in the previous quarter. At Salzgitter, we are in the meanwhile already down to a vacancy rate at around 5.5%, which is in Salzgitter perhaps not the optimum yet, but not far away from the optimum. If you remember, the development in the last financial years, it was definitely strong. So now we are, I think, in Salzgitter, perhaps quite close to what we should call a kind of structural vacancy rate. The underlying like-for-like rental growth, just to point out this again in Salzgitter, is very promising and interesting. We are in a basis like-for-like rental growth just from reletting and from rent increasing from existing tenants at 2.6% in the first quarter,
yep,
compared to 2.7%. So we see an effect that we observe in a lot of regions or locations we have. First step is clearly vacancy reduction. Then the basis like-for-like rental growth is weaker. Today you see this in the Chemnitz region. If you look at the slide you mentioned, slide 21, where the basis like-for-like rental growth is just 0.7% and it was 0.8% last year, but clearly stronger like-for-like rental growth, including vacancy reduction. And we are convinced once vacancy rates in Chemnitz have fallen or our portfolio have fallen, this number will pick up so that we achieve overall a total like-for-like, attractive total for like-for-like rental growth. And then perhaps you can just remind me, what was your
second? The third question was on impairments on receivables, whether it would be possible to provide us with a number, for example, as percentage of net rents, where you are already, or whether you would expect to be, according to my calculations, you were still around 2% or so.
Yeah, we clearly expect this to get below 2%, and 2%, that's the calculation, rent receivables or impairments on rent receivables in relation to the rent without service charges.
Yeah.
So it should be as a, let's say, consequence of reduced vacancy rate. We also expect that this number will go below 2% and is going more and more towards a number which is more in the area of 1.5%.
Yep.
I think below that, that would be difficult.
The 1.5% would have been our longer term goal. Okay. All right, thank you.
Mr. Kai Klose from BNB, may we have your questions, please?
Very good morning. I just have a quick question regarding the sales results from sales. It's on page 6, the minus 1.5, just to understand, is this the, how to call it, capital loss, or the sales price you received in comparison to the book value, or does it include also some sales costs, sales expenses? And then how you would expect this to develop throughout the year? And the last question, the second question, again on page 20, just to understand the development in the Rhine-Ruhr region. I think you haven't bought anything there, but you saw a slight pickup in vacancy rates. Is it just a seasonal effect or was anything specific? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Kai, for the question. Perhaps we'll start with the second question. It's more not seasonal effect, but effect from investments we're doing in the Rhine-Ruhr region. And as the Rhine-Ruhr region with 4,700 units is not that large in our company, you don't see a massive impact there. And a lot of that was qualified. So if you look at the per square meter investments, maintenance, capex, but a lot of that was qualified as maintenance. You see this number at €4 per square meter, which is quite a lot. So this should be something that is nothing really a trend for the full year 2018 or 2019. So a number that should come down now over the next quarters. That's very, very clear for us. And your question regarding net revenue from sales, the loss we show here with 0.5 million in the first quarter 2018 is purely the effect from transaction costs. And transaction costs in this regard means broker fees, for example, or to the very largest part broker fees, for example, for the portfolio in Berlin that we sold last year. The technique is as follows. We are selling that during the course of 2017, in fact, above book value. Then we get to the next balance sheet date where we value that up to the purchase price. But what we cannot account for under IFRS is the broker fees. So this is then just in the P&L when the closing takes place. So if you want, so the total disposal gain is on the one side in the valuation gain until the next balance sheet date, and then we have a loss when we account for the broker fees. But overall, if you looked at that from an economical perspective, it's clearly a book gain. So that's the background of this.
I see. And last question regarding the valuation of the portfolio as of June. Just to understand, is it as detailed as the valuation for the year end, or is it more, what do you call it, the desktop on the more general overview and less detailed than for the December valuation?
It's detailed. It's nearly exactly comparable.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Next questioner is Michael Tonchev from Kampen. May we have your questions, please?
Yes, hi, good morning. Just two quick ones from me. With regards to the bank loans, 326 million, can you maybe elaborate on the timing of refinancing and sort of when would you expect to reach under 2% of average cost of debt? Because I think you mentioned you're at 2.14% post the upcoming refinancing. That's the first question.
Yeah, good morning, Mike. I think this should not be too far away to get below the 2%. So perhaps that's a matter of the ongoing financial year 2018. We think about possibilities regarding refinancings. I mean, that's clearly an unchanged strategy. So what we want to prevent is high breakage fees, for example, for bank loans maturing in 2020. But currently, we think about refinancing options in this bank regarding these bank loans a little bit ahead of maturity. So getting below the 2% cost of debt is perhaps something that is not too far away to say it like this.
Okay, thank you. That's very clear. And secondly, just in terms of tenant turnover, we've seen a decline for some of your peers, but yours has been pretty stable. Are there any updates there, or is it just steady as a rock?
That's, in fact, steady as a rock, if you want to call it like this. And two trends in stronger locations, like, for example, in Dresden City or in Hamburg, it's very clear that it's coming down. So the trend we or if we talk about an average tenant turnover, which is approximately 10%, and that's an average of, let's say, 7% tenant turnover, for example, in Hamburg, and let's say 12% or 13% tenant turnover in a city like Chemnitz.
Perfect. Very clear. Thank you very much.
For further questions, please press star one. There are no further questions in the moment.
Okay, then thank you all for listening and taking part in our Q1 call. Thanks for the time. Hope to see many of you at our Capital Markets Day on the 12th of June in Brandenburg-an-Havel. Have a nice day, and bye-bye from Hamburg.
We want to thank Mr. Thiel and all the participants of this conference. Goodbye.